Our next storyteller, Mary Lee.
Okay, so I think the driving force behind a lot of creators' works of art is the desire to have an impact. And I think for a lot of art, it's just kind of falls flat. It's kind of hit or miss, right? So I think in order for art to have an impact, you sort of need to be in the right place at the right time. And the right place and the right time for me was, let's see, January 2006 in a theater in Trolley Square in Salt Lake City with my husband Paul, who's here tonight over there. And we were about to watch a documentary film called God Grew Tired of Us. It was part of the Sundance Film Festival. So the only reason that Paul and I were there that night was because his company gave him these free tickets. And at that point in our lives, we were raising our brood of kids, and they were 8, 2, and 1. And so all of our disposable income was going to disposable diapers and antidepressants. So we were pretty excited. We jumped at the chance, and we didn't even really care what film it was. We're like, let's just get out of here. So anyway, we went to this film, and it starts, and it starts showing the story of three boys, John, Panther, and Akeem, and it shows their journey as they fled their home country of Sudan and went about 1,000 miles, and then they ended up in this refugee camp called Kakuma in Kenya. They were three of just thousands of boys who had made this same journey, and they were called the Lost Boys of Sudan. How many of you here have heard of the Lost Boys? Just give me a shout. Okay, so you know the story, and it was a big story back in the late 90s at this point in time. And so the documentary really showed, it was a good depiction of just the suffering that these young men had already gone through, like unimaginable, aside from death. I can't think of anything that people had gone through that was harder. So anyway, it was pretty grim and sad, and then the story took a happy turn as they kind of won the lottery and got to go to America and start a new life. And so you're just cheering for them, and yet then the story sort of takes a little bit of a different turn. There was one scene that showed the boys walking to a convenience store, and of course it showed the people's reactions to them, and it wasn't really a friendly response because it was three black men walking into a store, and I think this was maybe their first experience with racism in their lives. And then in another scene, they were at a public swimming pool, and they had all these curious onlookers, and people were kind of staring, and then you saw a couple brave people go, "Oh, how are you?" And I totally related, because in Salt Lake at the time, a lot of refugees lived there, and I would say hi and smile the same way, and it sort of ended there, because in my mind, the story that I said was, oh, they must be just so happy to be safe and away from their war-torn country and out of poverty. And so this movie sort of illuminated that for me and helped me realize, there were other scenes that showed the young men after work, they'd come home, and they would just come home at night, every night, and watch television alone. So to me, it struck me as very bitter irony that people who had already suffered the greatest suffering you could imagine, then they hit the lottery and they get to come to America. And wait, no, there's more suffering in the form of isolation and loneliness. So it was pretty, my eyes were open. Then there was this scene, and okay, spoiler alert, this is pretty sad, but it gets happy at the end, so just bear with me in this scene. There was a scene, so John, his mother had not seen him in more than 10 years because she was in Sudan. And so she was being flown to the United States, and they were going to reunite. And so the film takes place, it shows the scene at the airport. And so the mother gets off the plane, and when she sees her son, she just breaks down, and she just lets out these primal sounds of like moaning and singing, and it was like this mixture to me of the most profound joy and the deepest suffering all together. And I just never seen anything so beautiful in my life as to see this mother moaning and singing and cradling her son in her hands. So I, at that moment, life kind of stopped for me. You have those moments. And I just saw that she was me and I was her. And we were the same. I knew her somehow. And the way that she expressed herself and just had that breakdown was how I knew that I would react, because I had imagined a reunion so many times. I had lost my son 10 years earlier. And when I saw her reaction, it was like, that's exactly how I would react if I ever got the chance to reunite with my beautiful boy, Charlie. And I just knew in that moment that our suffering and our love were all the same. So the movie ended, and I was leaving, and two things like just pushed me out of my comfort zone from that movie and just really made an impact. One was I saw that the refugees in our community really could use friends in order to feel included and a part of our community. And two, I realized, like, it was gospel truth to me that we are all one tribe, the human tribe, and these were my people. And so Paul and I were talking in the car on the way home, and I said, hey, you know, we probably can't change the world, but what if we found some refugees to be our buddies? Wouldn't that be? He said, okay. And I think he was pretty moved by the film, too. So we had a friend, her name was Crystal, and she was involved with the refugees, so I gave her a call and said, Crystal, we'd like to meet some refugees just to be friends, you know, just hang out. So she's like, great. So she arranged a meeting for us to meet a family, and they had just gotten here, and they were in the very same refugee camp as the young boys we'd seen in Kakuma. And they were from Somalia, and so this was at the library. We showed up with our kids, and we walked in, and it was like, I thought there was going to be like a little family. No, it was like 20 people, and most of them were kids. And it was just mayhem. And the kids were just glomming all over us, and our kids were just glomming all over us because they were scared to death of all these strangers. And it was just this happy time because they were so happy to meet us and we were so happy to meet them. And so then we're like, what are we? Okay. So we started having them over every Wednesday night. We decided to have pizza. And so they started coming over, and then we realized, oh, okay, it's going to be pizza and tutoring, because we realized that they could use a little help with their language and their homework. And then, like, after a little while, it became pizza and tutoring, and then the neighbors coming over and tutoring and hanging out with us. We're like, okay. And so then it was pizza tutoring with other houses, because literally there were we didn't have the space in our house to accommodate all the people who wanted to, all the refugees who wanted to come, and all the people who wanted to be friends with the refugees. So within just a few, you know, like months, it just grew into this huge thing, and it was wonderful. And our city just got involved, church groups, and the university got involved. It was in the news. It was just wonderful. So I was thinking, gosh, what would life be like if I hadn't seen that film? And it would have gone on, and I would have been just as polite to the refugees as I'd always been. But that thought just makes me shudder, because our life would have been so boring and mundane and not nearly as fun. For example, we would have missed out on the time that it was a hot summer afternoon, and we passed out ice cream sandwiches to all the refugee moms, and we watched one of the moms just put that sandwich in her pocket for later. We're like, have you heard of melting? So then we would have missed out on the time that there were these teenage kids and they screamed and hid behind us the first time that they ever saw a kitty cat. Bigger things we would have missed out on too, so many I can't name, but one of them, our friend Emeline made friends with the little boy Mahamud, and years later Emeline found out she couldn't have children, and then Mahamud, when his girlfriend got pregnant, decided that Emeline should be the mother, and so Emeline adopted Muhammad's baby. This is just one of many stories, but I'm out of time. Thank you for the reminder. I hope that if you're ever wondering if art can change people's lives and have an impact, I hope my story has changed your mind. And it's all because we were in the right place at